You're tuning in to Spectre Radio.
Revisiting our favorite Star Wars movie moments and debate about scenes from the show.
We're just three millennials flying our way through the galaxy through the eyes of the clones, Jedi, and bounty hunters.
I'm Wyatt.
I'm Andrew.
My name is Alyssa, and we are...
Spectre Radio.
Put your personal feelings aside and don't deny that you have them. How real is the threat of the spoiler's return?
We have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Thank you, Chancellor Mon Mothma and General Hera Syndulla, for the spoiler warning. Again, our podcast contains adult content and spoilers. And men taking women's jobs.
I started hearing whispers of Thrawn's return as heir to the Empire.
What happens when we find Thrawn?
Power, such as you've never dreamed.
I've spent most of my life fighting a war. That's why I'm trying to convince you to help me prevent another one.
You and I both know who could help you with this.
She's still just as stubborn as ever.
I bet your master found you difficult at times.
Anakin never got to finish my training. I walked away from him, just like I walked away from Sabine.
You never made things easy for me,
Master.
As a Jedi, sometimes you have to make the decision no one else can. But I'm counting on you to see this through.
Nice haircut. Sometimes we have to do what's right, regardless of our personal feelings.
Buckle up.
If we don't stop Thrawn, everything will be in vain.
You have no power.
Anakin spoke highly of you.
I'm not here to discuss my past.
We have a lot of work to do.
Once a rebel, always a rebel.
My job is to protect the listeners of this podcast the best way I know how, by ignoring other podcasts around me. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Spectre Radio.
We just talked about another podcast.
Just going to say, all we did before we hit record was talk about other podcasts.
I thought that was funny.
We love that it just randomly led into that.
I'm like, they're going to like this.
I love a quinky dink.
Yes. So once again, we are back. Spectre Radio is back doing episode 7 of the Ahsoka show. And they are just rocking it with these home runs, these grand slams, whatever you want to call them. All right. Well, without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Wyatt, and he's going to bring us in with our recap. So go ahead, Wyatt, take it away.
Ahsoka, part 7. We open to Hera in a military hearing on Coruscant. Senator Ziono is berating her for disobeying the New Republic. Hera clarifies, saying she only disobeyed him, that everything she did was to protect the Republic. Senator Organa, Solo, intervenes on her behalf through C-3PO. Meanwhile, Ahsoka and Hu-Yang finally arrive in Peridia, but Thrawn anticipated her arrival and planted mines around the planet and dispatched his fighters to chase him. So they hide in the debris field orbiting the planet. Meanwhile, Sheen and Baylan locate Ezra and Sabine. Thrawn and the Night Sisters coordinate their efforts to either kill or at least delay our heroes in return so they can return and rebuild the Empire. Can Ahsoka make it back to Sabine and Ezra in time, or will Thrawn's strategy cause our heroes' defeat?
Yeah. I enjoy writing those because I enjoy free writing, and I get to do that so not often that I got to put a little little spice in these little things.
You do it weekly now.
I do. Yeah, I should actually try writing again to begin with.
Nice little exercise. Nicely done. Nicely done, Wyatt. That was a
Thank
nice...
You, Wyatt.
We're just shaking up all the roles tonight, and I'm here all for it. So I am going to go ahead and take us into our next category of... Instant reaction.
I should do it like a man's voice the rest of the podcast, right?
This episode was interesting for me. I think the first thing I wanted to talk about was the title. I don't know if we said Dreams and it's Dreams and Madness, right? Or Madness and Dreams. Dreams
yeah,
and Madness.
I don't know if I sent that to him in the chat, but I did.
No,
write
no,
it
it's
in
okay. That didn't really jump out as a theme for me in this episode. Like, we literally didn't see anybody, one, chasing a dream, or two, having a dream. There was a lot of like craziness and like
I thought that's what Balin said this land was.
Is that
or the
what
planet
he said?
Was in the last movie? He was like, this place is like madness.
Okay.
And dreams,
oh,
like
right.
Fairy tales or something.
I see. And the fairy tale thing came up at the hearing.
I don't know
okay.
if that's actually
I was
what
just,
sounds good.
Yeah. I feel like I'm struggling to make some connections. And like, there are so many plot lines and stories unfolding that it's like, they did a really good job just a couple episodes ago with Ahsoka's character arc. And we're getting like more insight on her past and her master and everything, because we get Anakin again, which was cool. But I feel like they're not really pushing her forward. And there was so much probably left on the table that it's like, we have one episode. I have no idea. Like, coming into this, I had no idea what to expect from this episode. I didn't think we'd be back with Hera or Mon Mothma or any of those characters. So that was a nice surprise, though, being back with Hera and seeing, you know, that she's using her cards in her arsenal the way
her
that
deck,
she can. Yeah, her deck, exactly.
And Leia saving the day, being on the side of the intellectual people and not the morons of the New Republic.
Right, right, exactly. So, yeah, and, like, not objecting and, like, he's literally not a judge. What is he objecting at? Like, I don't understand where he's like, objection. Like, this is a court martial, I guess, or something
like
that.
It's
but
a military hearing to see if she's being court martialed. Yeah, he has the right to object. It's kind of stupid, but I mean,
it didn't fit.
And he strongly objects too.
Yeah, right.
It was awfully ballsy considering he made the decision without Leia and she's in charge of making those decisions.
And then there was no order in the court when Teyva's like, oh, what about the conflict on Mandalore? And I kind of like perked up in my seat and I was like, oh, I was like, okay, so now we know where we are in the timeline, right? Now we know it's pretty much after the end of season 3 of Mando, pretty much everything that we've already seen. So that was really helpful. And then we got sweet 3PO again. That was so exciting to see C-3PO. I loved that. And also Chopper barking like a dog.
Chopper
being
growling.
Like a mere droid. And he's like, as he does.
As he does.
So that's great. And having Hayden back, that was nice. I think I maybe got a little too deep in my thought process, because when he came back, I didn't have, obviously, as strong of a reaction as I did the first time. But I was like, oh, like, as soon as I saw his, like, cloak or whatever, I was like, or his robes, I was like, okay, like, that's got to be him. And then it made me think way too deep and be like, so why would he have made these recordings? Obviously, like, one of the big themes in his life and his story is fear. And so I'm like, knowing what we know about Anakin and his story, I wonder, under the threat of the war and all that he's experienced, I wonder if it's because he knows now or knew then how precious time was after losing his mom. I felt like that was kind of where my mind went, instead of just like losing people in the Clone Wars, but like the fact that he made 20 or so recordings, like,
I've got a theory on that.
I feel like that. Do you want to save it for predictions, or do you want to talk?
No, I mean, it tracks in line with kind of what you're saying. I mean, if you listen to a lot of, I'll say, preachers and speakers, a lot of times when they're talking on their subject, they're talking to themselves.
Yeah.
They're trying to push themselves through whatever they're talking about. I feel like that's kind of what Anakin is doing as well. Is that he's not talking to Ahsoka, he's talking to himself.
That's
and
really
just
excellent
using
point.
just using these recordings to feel like he's training, you know, his Padawan, but really he's talking within himself.
I love that. That's a great idea. I could totally see that.
It does remind me of Tales of the Jedi when he, like, because in Tales of the Jedi, like, he walks in and Ahsoka's training, and it's what the Jedi Order's little training thing that they put together, and he goes, it's a lousy test. He's like, I can make a better one. And he does, and he has, like, the best troopers in the entire army shoot at his Padawan to make her the best that there is at such a young age. And the words he said they were similar words to what was in the recording, because I was actually just watching an episode of Tales of the Jedi today, and he said, you know, the best way that I can protect you is to teach you how to protect yourself. So he's
right.
He's very much afraid to let go of things. Like Yoda tells him in episode 3, let go of everything you're afraid to lose. And they also, in the beginning of the Clone Wars show, said that it was the true test of whether or not you could become a Jedi Master or whatever. They said was, if it's not if you can train them, it's if you can let them go when the time comes. And as we know, Anakin can't do that. So I think it definitely speaks to his character. I can agree with what Wyatt's saying to a point, because one of the things he said in the recording was, practice these forms often, or at least more than I do. So it's like he's kind of chiding himself almost for not doing it. So I can kind of see Wyatt's point there for sure.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot that happened because we jumped back and forth this episode. But that point really stood out to me, especially upon watching it for the second time today. I have a couple other high level ones. I was just kind of trying to organize my messy notes over here. When Ahsoka and Hu Yang were on the ship, it felt like me and Andrew at dinner last weekend when she's like, I don't know, Hu Yang, you should have said something. And he's like, what do you mean? And then she's like looking at him sarcastically. And I was like, that was literally me and Andrew sitting next to each other at dinner last weekend at Wyatt's house. That was very funny.
I was also several gulps of wine in, and wine affects me way different than liquor. That was a lot of wine for me.
I was goading you. I was like, come on.
Literally, Wyatt's wife was like, you don't have to drink it if you don't want. On one, literally sitting next to me on my right side, and on my left side, I have Alyssa. what did you say?
We don't waste alcohol in this house.
I literally had an angel and a devil on either shoulder.
That's me.
Different advice.
Yep.
It was pretty funny.
And then the graphics in this episode, I think there were parts that looked really good, like Enoch on that, that comes later, the whatever hologram. He looked really
hologram,
good.
That hologram is from the Clone Wars. It looks a lot like from Umbara. Remember that general that went against the Republic and had all the clones kill each other?
Okay.
Yeah,
that planet, they have like better technology than some of the Republic, and it's very like fade in, fade out. It's super cool.
It was very pretty, very like waves, very wavy. So that was neat. And I think I acclimated to what Thrawn looks like and sounds like and everything. So I think he looked good. But the Purrgil for me, like when they came out of hyperspace, the way they stopped, I don't know why. To me, I don't know if it's comparing it from them in the sunny white, fluffy blue sky clouds or to like the dark, vast black void of space. But when they all came to a screeching halt, it just looked very like almost like Rebels to me, like very kind of cartoony, blocky, kind of 3D square looking kind of stuff. So I don't know. I had a weird thought around that. And then I got like a COVID flashback when Sabine was like filling Ezra in on everything that happened. I was like, Ezra's like the trope of like somebody who went into a coma before COVID happened and just came out of it now.
Or
and
like we're the like, memes like about try, like when they go in a coma before Harambe.
Yeah,
it's like, let me tell you how this kickstarted everything.
Exactly, like trying to explain Harambe, and then also like the other version is trying to explain COVID because it's like, all right, so there was this guy named Joe Exotic.
Oh my
like
God.
Trying to explain that to somebody.
That
like,
woman is then, obsessed with me.
And then there was no toilet paper. Like just trying, like it makes no sense. So just trying to explain that, I felt like that was what she was doing. I thought that was very funny. The stuff with Baylan was kind of weird. Yeah, it was.
How so?
I mean, he just kind of peaced out. He was like, yeah, I'm not in this to like murder anybody, even though he like literally yeeted Ahsoka off a cliff. He just is selective with his murder.
Part of it tracked. It was, I think he kind of sensed that Thrawn didn't really care about them. But he also, he clearly wanted to stay and find whatever power he thinks is on that planet. And his Padawan wants power, like in the Empire kind of power. And so he did what was best for her and best for him. The part that I had a problem with, it was like, he told Ahsoka, I can't let you interfere. I'm like, bro, you pieced out of that situation already.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's like protecting his Padawan because he views Ahsoka as Anakin's Padawan, prone to violence.
Right.
And Anakin was probably like the biggest killer of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. So he probably was like, listen, he goes, I did peace out, but I'm not, you know, you are way better trained than Shin. So I'm not going to let that happen. So that was hard for me to wrestle with. But him piecing out, I totally got. It was an awkward time, but
it was. That was weird. I did like his quote that he said, impatience for victory will guarantee defeat.
Mm.
That was like almost very Thrawn of him to say that.
Did you notice what his intro into saying that was? When he's talking to her?
The theme you're talking or?
No. So he says, I have one parting lesson for you.
Mm-hmm.
Impatience for victory will guarantee defeat. So he knew right there that was going to be the last time that he was going to see her.
Mm, okay.
Because he's given one final word of wisdom.
Okay.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see like what happens next week, and maybe we can talk about that for predictions.
I mean, I'm imagining he dies at the end of the show. I'm not sure.
That's what a lot of people are speculating since he's no longer with us, unfortunately. But
yeah, but I mean, how does that work out? Because he left. Like, does he just randomly come back? Also, something we haven't talked about this entire time, and I meant to bring up probably three episodes ago, he has a green kyber crystal in his belt.
What?
He has a green kyber crystal in his belt.
Instagram reels on this, yeah.
Yeah. So,
kyber.
Is it kind of like in episode 6 where Luke was wearing all black, and it was supposed to be, is he going to get turned to the dark side?
And then it flaps open
to the white, revealing that he was good all along. Is it that kind
of
thing?
I heard this on the internet, and I heard there's a lot of shit I hear on the internet, of course.
That's always true on the internet.
What about the whole thing last week where they brought Sabine off the ship or whatever, and the witches were like, I smell a Jedi. And I was talking to Alex about this over the weekend, and he was like, Yeah, they were talking about Sabine. I was like, no, they're not. She's not Baylan. A full Jedi. It's Baylan.
The words they said were, it smells of Jedi.
Yeah.
And if you notice, like, there are Instagram reels that slow it down, and you see Baylan's eyes kind of, like, look at them and then, like, look away, like, uncomfortably.
Yep.
And they kind of just say, oh, it's Sabine.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
I think it is.
Well, I'll save it for predictions. There's one other one. Okay. Let me write it down.
Instant reactions. I like that we got a little bit more of Captain Enoch. I wanted more, obviously, now that we're fully invested in his little Roman type armor.
The Roman Empire?
Kylo Ren.
His armor is like indicative of like Roman Empire kind of stuff. So that was kind of cool. As apparently it's flooding the internet that all guys think about the Roman Empire long periods of time.
That's okay. Our Roman Empire is like the Romanoff family and Princess Anastasia. So we've all got something that just lives rent-free in our heads.
Fair enough. I was thinking it's taking them a long time to load these pods. So it kind of got me back to thinking, what could they be again? But again, I think that their bodies.
Yeah, that was kind of annoying that they didn't like give us anything on that, you know.
I think they're going to. I think they're just waiting.
No, for sure. But like, not even one other nugget. I'm like, oh, come on. Give us a breadcrumb, you cowards.
I was very happy with how much Thrawn analyzing we got. We actually got Thrawn mm-hmm. in his element. Like last episode, he just was like posturing and quoting, and it was great and whatever. But this is Thrawn in his element. And I finally like that we got to see him make the connection. Her master was General Anakin Skywalker, because he's met him and he studied him, and he knew Vader was him. He found out when they hung out.
Yeah, I
forgot. So it's because of that he was able to formulate a strategy that very nearly worked. And against the Jedi, any strategy you have against a great Jedi that very nearly works, you can consider that a slam dunk.
Right.
But like he says, he only has to delay them. So like on his side, a draw is a win for him.
Right.
He doesn't have
to
beat them. He just has to tie.
He wants to win the war, not the battle.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the good guys have to win. Otherwise they're not getting home. All he has to do is tie. Like, so they have it double stacked against them. So I liked
that a lot. I have a theory on that.
I like the Night Sisters not being, you know, useless. They're actually doing stuff, which is awesome. They're not just
I had a question on that.
Okay.
Why do they just do whatever Thrawn tells them to do?
Because
in this episode.
I feel like there's a secret deal going on between them.
Why? There is a secret deal. In exchange, because he can take them home. They can't get home by themselves.
Oh, right. Okay. Thank you. I feel like that was glossed over so quickly.
Is home for them?
Technically, Peridia is where they originated, but most of them went to Dathomir. So, like, where Darth Maul is from, like where Savage Opress is from the Clone Wars. And we also see it in the Jedi Fallen Order games.
It's terrifying.
So they want to leave, just like their ancestors before them left. Whatever it is, they want to leave. And Thrawn has the ship as well as the hyperspace ring. Now, yes, the hyperspace ring was Morgan Elsbeth's, but it seems like her first loyalty is to him over the Night Sisters.
She made sure there was a gel cell, so obviously.
She never said she was coming to get her Night Sister clan. She said she was coming to get Thrawn. So.
Yeah. She just seems like Night Sister adjacent.
She was asking
all these dumbass questions this episode to Thrawn, and I was like, girl, you gotta get with the program by now. If he's supposed to be your teacher, why are you trying to be up in here?
She was also chanting with them as well.
Yeah, she was. I saw that.
It was more like she was lip syncing the words.
Well,
like,
she knows how
like
to do
a fan
some things.
In the audience.
She knows how to do some things.
I don't know. She's annoying. I hate her.
I mean, yeah. Obviously, she's not the best.
She's a witch. I hate her.
back to the court scene real quick. I like that we got Admiral Akbar. I was upset he didn't say anything because, like, I'm almost done with the old Thrawn books, and there's been a few court scenes like that with, like, the hierarchy of the New Republic.
You just wanted somebody to come in and ask,
very
like,
vocal.
What? And he's ask, like, if we were ready to have a break in the court for lunch. And they bring out a whole like tray of sandwiches, and he's like, "It's a wrap."
Yes, I desperately want that, but that's besides the point.
I was waiting.
I desperately want that, but that's beside the point. No, he's normally he's on the very competent side, and like whatever like the general heroes are doing, and someone's opposing them, he's either like in the middle, like bridging the gap, or he's on the competent side. And I wanted him to say something, but we did get a little look from him when Ziona was put in his place at the end. He did seem kind of pleased, but I'm just like, I'm so Hera if I ever go to court. Like if I have some slick douche lawyer.
Receipts.
Like if I got some slick douche lawyer like just batting questions at me a million miles an hour and not letting me answer them, he goes, "Oh, it doesn't seem like you have any answers to my questions." I'm like, "Bro, you're gonna let me speak or you're gonna stand there like being emasculated like that, like just trying to pawn off the fact that you have a small," but anyway,
right?
Like I would be so hurt in
the confidence of a much taller man.
I don't know. I'd be like, bro, nobody here knew that you had a small package until you just tried to steamroll me like
Lord,
that.
Oh,
but
boy.
Like, but I'm again, I'm so hurt.
Spectre Radio
like
contains adult content.
If I'm disrespected like that, especially when you're asking me questions, like you gonna let me speak? And if you're not smart enough to sit at the big kids table, maybe you should get out.
Oh,
kind of thing. So like, I don't have a lot of patience for him because too much of real life is like that.
Fair enough.
I am enjoying this episode a lot. We still didn't get the fallout of Sabine's actions coming
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I love that she was like, here's, let me distract you with all the things you missed instead of actually answering your question.
He's like, we have to talk about it, but okay. I think he was like, we're going home. Nailing it as far as being as
this episode, he's really kind of,
especially when he's like, wait, don't you want to take us prisoner? Like how animated he's getting. Yeah. Like, bro, this is,
don't you want to talk? Yeah.
And then he just like doesn't even need a lightsaber right now. I mean, he hasn't had one in about 10 years. So, I mean, that's fair.
I got like crunchy granola vibes from him when he did that because of his, the way he's like space Moses right now and is like, I don't need a weapon, man. Like, peace is the only weapon I need, bro. Because he was like, the Force is my ally. And I was like, okay, Yoda or Kanan or Chira.
It'd be funny if he lit a blunt when he said that. It's like,
right. That's what I'm saying. Is like, he takes a hit from a bong and then he's like, may the Force be with you. Like,
he does like a Spock sign.
Yeah, live long and prosper.
That'd be so
also
funny.
The internet also helped me notice that. Did you see that the comparison that he taught?
Yes, I knew little, that was that.
The little notes, how to use the slingshot was from Ezra David in the past Goliath. Doing that.
That was so cute. Yeah.
And then one other thing I didn't say before I hand the floor to Wyatt. Sorry, I have to loop back around. If not for Saudi, when Ezra got singed in the hair by the lightsaber, I got, you shot my hair vibes, you son of a bitch. Pew, 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 like from Spaceballs when he opens fire. So I was like, oh my God, I was dying. And he was like, that was close. And I was like, you shot my hair.
I could smell that as well. As soon as that happened, I could smell it.
Gross.
Smell-o-vision. So thankful we don't have it yet.
Smell-o-vision. Stop. That sounds like a Disney invention. Oh God.
It will be.
So, couple of mine. Hera's ears kind of freak me out a little bit.
Her ears, like her tails.
Well, because we always see
the little
her
points
with
on the side.
Yeah,
she's like, my
just,
ears are up here.
They're just.
She's
they're
gonna
just
have to tell me that again. What?
Sorry. I have to Google it. I have not paid attention to her ears. Her
it sticks out of her little wrap mask thing down here.
Usually like she has points. Like the more
I
of a headdress on.
I love that I Google Hera live action ears and the first thing that comes up is Hera Mickey Mouse ears.
Of course, they're already merchandising.
Merchandising. I don't see what you're talking about. Maybe you'll have to find a picture and send it to me.
Yeah.
I'll find one. Go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm loving the awkwardness of C-3PO. I almost forgot how awkward he was.
He's so good.
I am enjoying that. When they made the when that one chancellor made a comment about, you know, oh, he's just a droid, and Chopper
a
got
mere
offended.
Droid. Mm-hmm. He was like barking.
He just growled, bro.
That was cool.
Straight up. That was funny.
When Ahsoka is putting away her sabers in that closet, that cabinet, whatever,
General
she has
Grievous
multiple
is,
sabers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're multiple. All training sabers or what, because I know Huang had training sabers, but like, yeah, General Grievous would love to go there, bro.
I didn't notice that. And I watched that twice.
And there was almost a slight like pregnant pause when she was putting back the file of it. And there's so much more in there.
There are more of those files.
I guess I just didn't realize that's what it was. Now that you say it,
now I'm having a hard time finding it. And I saw it today. I have one of her from Bad Batch when she was younger, and you could see her ears. But
it must not have stuck out to you guys as much as it did me.
It stuck out to me. They just don't have a picture yet because it was mostly this episode that you see those.
Yeah.
So it's probably just not
only this episode.
Yeah.
And she had different pants. Wow.
I have a question for Andrew. So Thrawn calls the Night Sisters Great Mothers.
Yeah.
Are they Great Mothers or Night Sisters, or is it the same name for the
person? That's a good question. So the leader of the Night Sisters in Clone Wars was Mother Talzin, remember?
Uh-huh.
Darth Maul's mom.
Darth Maul's mom.
Mommy.
She Everybody's fought.
The one who gave him the metal legs.
Yeah, she fought freaking Mace Windu on that episode where even Jar Jar has a girlfriend and I don't. and she was killed by General Grievous kind of thing. So I think, I think those three basically have her job. They're the mothers of like all of the remaining Night Sisters.
I think it's
Listen, like I'm eventually going to do stand-up. What do you think most of my material is going to be? Me, bro.
Your father. I feel like that's more of a term of endearment than, or like a term of respect,
It's a respectful term, but I think it's also their job, because that a title that gets transferred. I'm assuming that Mother Talzin isn't 5,000 years old. Maybe she's a few hundred.
To me, it's like calling a priest father.
That's fathers of their order of witchcraft.
That's kind of my
I wasn't my sure if there was some like deeper like lore that
that's a good question
uncovered.
Right.
Alyssa, I got very strong Night King vibes when Balin is on that horse dog thing and they're looking up towards
Howler.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole planet wasteland feels very Game of Thrones-y.
It does.
And the wolves.
North of the wall.
Wolves are very much House Stark, excuse me. So
yeah,
I could see that.
And one final thing, you guys kind of touched on it a little bit, but that final battle with Ezra seems very like the Spectre's crew usual shenanigans.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. That was great. And also the battle between Balin and Ahsoka, it was so much more intense, I feel like, than the first one, because it was still like very physically violent, but you could tell like the fact of the matter was she said, I don't have time for this. Like they were both distracting each other from the task at hand, and their object to me, as Ahsoka kind of proved, was not to kill each other. She was like, maybe I don't have to kill you. Maybe I can just like be better than you. Bye.
Also, I don't know how likely it would be if she could kill him. She didn't do so well the first time, and he more than held his own.
I feel like she did better this time.
She did good this time, but I don't know. And like, I don't know how good she would have actually done bringing it back to season 7 of Clones against Maul if he actually wanted to fight her.
Oh, sure.
Like she held her own well against one of the best duelists, which is fine. But he also, like, he was just like, all right, at a certain point, he's got to peace out.
And I feel like that was, in my thoughts, maybe that was more so her going through the motions and preparing was more so her, like, channeling all of her anger and stress around Thrawn versus like Balin per se. And Balin is just like a means to an end, as Thrawn would call him, you know.
He's so just a means to an end. I have a theory. No, not theory. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it, but
speculation.
Sure. And I'm waiting.
Objection calls for speculation.
I'm waiting for someone to do a side by side on this, but I think how Ahsoka was training before landing on the planet, I feel like that's the same form of move she was using on Balin.
I think so. I think it kind of looked like it.
Move for move. And it I don't did. Have the technology the or the was, patience to look at
the
it.
The way
but
she was blocking and all of that seemed very similar to the way she was
going. Even like how she, even her opening pose was different than her normal. So she... I like how they're pulling from different cultures in this show. Like you touched on that they pulled from Japanese culture a few times.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they Cameron, did that a lot.
Cameron sent me something about that too when we were messaging this week. And they also like pulled, like we said, from the Roman Empire. And what she was pulling from almost looked like I know this isn't a term that would normally be used, but like Oriental in spirit. Like, because I don't know if it's Chinese or Japanese, but that's it looked like to me. I do not normally refer Asian. To people as Oriental, but I just didn't know if Asian would give it the correct spin. It like more ancient Asian, so it was more what it came down to me. So I thought it was really cool. That was a good point, Wyatt. All righty, so taking us into our next category of predictions. So I'm predicting that next episode is the final episode.
No way. Oh, this the penultimate one?
Can I challenge you on that, Andrew?
Oh, Lord, help me.
Well, obviously, I think there's going to be a second season.
Well.
What?
So we know how Filoni likes to play games. I feel like we've been told it's going to be 8 episodes, but I feel like he's going to throw us a curveball and make this next episode part one. And then next week the following week we'll get a part 2.
Oh, come on.
Because
you know what's crazy?
There's no way we can push all of this plot.
It'll be a cliffhanger.
That's why it's a cliffhanger. Here's what I think, though.
Here's the crazy thing. They did that for Rebels.
How funny would it be if Wyatt was right? Like, that was like, and we're like, nah. And like, he does
that. I would be so happy.
I'd
be so happy that he was right.
Alas, I'm not saying
that's impossible. As Hu Yang would say, the odds are bad. Astronomically bad.
Astronomically bad. No, right. I think that would be kind of cool. It's definitely going to be a cliffhanger. One, I don't know if they're going to resolve in Rebels or another show. I call Ahsoka Rebels Season 5. Correct. Ahsoka Season 2 or another show. Or he is
or
doing
movie
a movie
later.
He's doing a movie that's allegedly going to tie in all those loose plot holes together. And I'm also wondering how Thrawn's return is going to fit in with all of those Imperials that are just like, oh, random former Imperials, ones that are actually still pro-Nazi, basically.
Yavul, mm-hmm. Lord Helmet. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what those like those Imperials who are actually trying to like still sabotage things. They remind me of Nazis that were brought here during Operation Paperclip. Like that they're still low-key pro-Nazi kind of thing. So that's kind of what I keep thinking of. And I'm wondering if like Senator Ziona was like a plant. Like somebody on like a Senate subcommittee.
Like Alaya.
Yeah. So, or like if you watch the show Hunters on Amazon Prime, where they hunt the Nazis, one of the Nazis was on like a Senate subcommittee, which is wild, which is apparently based on true events, which is wild. But back to Star Wars. I'm just not sure how it's all gonna fit together. I don't know end with like them pulling back up into our galaxy or the Star Wars galaxy, or if it's going to end with just them entering hyperspace and then we're on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I have no predictions.
It's got to probably end one of those two ways.
We're going to get
the fallout of
Sabine's actions. Obviously we're definitely going to get that now that the three of them are back. Oh,
right.
Sabine. What?
It's pretty clear that Thrawn is going to be successful because we get the First Order. But we don't know if it's this time around that he's successful or if we don't see them leave until
this,
the end of
his season, campaign could be entirely separate from the First Order.
That's fair. But this is like the seeds of that, right? Like
I think it's somewhat the seeds of that, but I think it's more of a last ditch effort to reignite the old empire, or at least under his leadership.
Okay, I got you.
I think there's going to be a balance of that, but I don't think it's going to be as much.
Yeah.
Excuse me, the First Order.
I could see Baylan kind of getting in the middle between our group and quote unquote the enemy and sacrificing himself a la like Hux to kind of like let the heroes escape. And I kind of have a fun theory on that, but I'll get to it in a second because the other one is kind of obvious based on what you guys just said, that Ahsoka has a whole closet full of lightsabers just collecting dust. Now, we don't know if they are training sabers or if they have real kyber crystals in them or like what. But something on the internet fodder has kind of reminded me that Ahsoka has 2 sabers. Mm-hmm. So if Ezra really needed one, she could just lend him one of her 2 and she could still fight with just 1. Obviously her trade is much better with 2, but if none of the ones in the closet are suitable, then I would say her lightsaber, obviously it's not like the wand in the wizard, it doesn't like call to the Jedi per se, right? That's more of the kyber crystal. So I could see.
I think it's more sabers in general. You need to like you need to connect with it. You need to not be resisting yourself kind of thing.
Right. Kind of like Sabine. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I could see that going a couple different ways, but that's interesting. So my prediction, the only one that I actually legitimately came up with that I think would be so funny, and I really fucking hope they do this. So you guys know in Rebels, Ezra loves to get in all this like hijinks and trouble. So the end of this episode, the night troopers are like forced onto the battlefield and they get in a huge fight. And there's a couple that I think are killed And as we saw, they're not necessarily, these ones at least, are not necessarily made with Night Sister magic that we know of, because they don't explode into dust a la the Avengers Thanos snap or Maruk from a couple episodes ago. Yes. So that being said, I could see Ezra taking the armor off of a Night Trooper and wearing it and sneaking in.
I mean, they've done that how many times in Rebels?
Yeah. I know. I'm like, and the last bit of the episode when they all reunite, there's a very obvious shot of a Stormtrooper in the, or the Night Trooper, excuse me, in the armor in between. It's like the two are on one side and then Ahsoka's here or whatever. And the trooper is right in the middle of them on the floor.
I mean, him and Sabine will fit in there, but I mean, she's, I mean, yeah, Ahsoka's not fitting her tails.
Yeah, I didn't even think, and I guess Sabine did before too. That's a good point. I didn't even think of her specifically, but I thought for sure, like, I could see that happening next episode to kind of give us some lightheartedness with all the crazy stuff that's going to happen, that we're probably going to see. I would assume at least one major character die because it's Star Wars.
It's wild that we only have one episode left with this much potential plot and exposition.
Yeah. So that's my only legitimate prediction, is Ezra putting on a Stormtrooper.
So let's take this in the context of season one and two of Mando as far as pacing. Like,
oh God.
Remember how season three was wildly different in pacing than season one and two? Like, things we thought was going to happen in season four and five happened in the first four episodes of season three.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I almost sued them so that I could, like, you know, have a neck brace.
I know. But, like,
it was wild. So, like, are we getting that vibe now that it's like a slow build, or is this more like season three, or is it somewhere in between?
No, I would say it's not like that at all. For me, at least personally, I feel like the last, like, couple episodes, I have felt when I turn on the TV, I'm like, I have no idea what to expect. No idea what to expect. And that's a good thing. And it's also kind of a frustrating thing, because it's like, we get so comfortable with Star Wars that it is easy to kind of predict some of these things and be right about, oh, Ahsoka can talk to the animals, and so the Purrgil are going to take them, and haha, we figured that out. But I think at the same time, it's nice that it's not giving us so much and trying to jam everything into one season, because I feel pretty confident that we will get a season two, especially now that the writers are not on strike anymore.
Yeah.
And everything can resume production, thank God.
That was today, right?
That was today.
Yeah.
So, end of September 2023. But yeah, Wyatt, you said it flew by. Do you think it was more like...
I feel like this season flew... I'm not sure if it's just, you know, it's end of summer, beginning of fall, and we were... Us being down here in Florida, we were begging for this transition as soon as possible so it could cool down.
Has it? Nope.
There's been some cooler mornings.
Where you live.
60 is nice.
Where you live.
You're only a few hours.
It was
a lot,
like,
different over here on the beach.
It was like mid-60s, like low-70s, and with some breeze. That was kind of nice.
Yes, I feel like this season flew by, and I'm not sure if it's because we were trying to rush through with the anticipation of Thrawn coming.
That may be part of it.
Yeah, which I hate. Absolutely hate that thought could be a possibility, because there's so much development, there's so much that happened between episode one to episode five was just a masterpiece all by itself, right? Or six, yes, whichever one that was.
Both of them
was.
Really,
right?
Yeah,
both of them really, five and six.
But so, to my prediction, I honestly really didn't have one until I just started doing a little bit of research. And so, and I
Googling?
Don't want this. Yes. I looked up who the director is going to be for this next one, because that
Rick Famuyiwa, right?
Yes. Who directed the last two episodes of Mandalorian season three. So
he's done a lot.
Action packed, then, potentially.
Didn't he also do the finale for season one? I think he did. Don't quote me on that.
All of those were action
packed.
He did
The Child,
Chapter 6. Wasn't that the first one?
He did Chapter 2, 6, 15, 17, 18. He did a lot with The Mandalorian, which Pex to wander? Are we going to get a Din? Like, I mean, granted, he's nowhere near. He's nowhere near where we are, but is there going to be some Mandalorian-esque kind of, like, are we going to get maybe a Bo-Katan that might show up?
Yeah, cameo.
To help with Sabine, because we hear in Mando that she's looking for Thrawn as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm still slowly, and I'm starting to lose my prediction, but with my original one, how Thrawn turned Ezra, and this was a whole plot to get them by themselves, which kind of was. That was Thrawn's goal, is to distract them so he could finish doing what he was doing, loading the bodies or whatever crazy thing they're doing with these coffins.
Let the bodies explode.
I don't know. Like,
they better not. That's disrespectful to a corpse.
A couple.
We don't know if it's a corpse. We don't
fair
know.
Enough.
A couple of probably. You know, my, you know, Adam, basically Adam and Paul texted me after this episode ended, mm-hmm. and they both said this last episode better be at least 2 hours.
How dare they?
It's not going to be. It needs it's to not be, going but to it's be. Not going to. I completely agree with them that it needs to be. I see Paul at church sometimes. They also need somewhere to go
after this season as well.
Yeah.
Where that goes,
I mean, we only just now got our first tie-in to Mandalorian in this show with what Teyva said. Mm-hmm. Where he was like, what about what happened on Mandalorian? Yeah, so it's like, so it's interesting. I did not expect this episode to be about as long as the last one. It was, I think, 2 minutes shy of the last one. I expected it to be shorter. So now I'm concerned because I hope this episode is longer. But if it's shorter, I don't know what we're going to do.
It's hard for me. And I know Alyssa touched on this a few pods ago about, like, not checking, like, the timeline while watching it to see
how long I didn't look this time.
I haven't looked at any of these. And I feel like I'm in, like, a movie theater because I have no control. Like, I won't even pause it.
Me, when I saw Oppenheimer, I was like, oh my God, how long has it been? It's been 84 years since I've seen the sun.
Was it good?
It was very good. It was just, I was talking about it today with my friend at lunch, and it felt like everything was, like, continuously shot. So it felt like there was no break in the dialogue. There was, like, hardly any break from, like, all the science talk, and you're like, they're literally talking about rocket science. Like, I don't understand.
They're literally giving us a bachelor's level course in this movie.
Yeah.
So I have one final question. I feel like both of you could probably answer this, but when was the last time Ahsoka saw Ezra? Was it in The World Between Worlds when he pulled her out?
Yeah, it had to be,
Because where did they go from, where did each of them go from there?
They went back to their separate doors. Like, they were walking around, and then the Emperor was trying to come through one of the doors, but they fight off his attack, and he said, hey, because she said, I can't go back with you. Like, she knew enough that she could not break the timeline like that. Like, he might have been able to pull her out and save her from dying, but she had to go back where she came from and live it naturally. She couldn't break the timeline and go through his door. It might be too much. Maybe that's how time travel works in that, you know, in this medium. But he said, when you come back, come and find me.
Right. I wanted to kind of bring that up on the pod we had 2 episodes ago, because the last time Ahsoka saw, let's just say, Anakin or Vader was when Ezra was pulling her out of whatever planet that was where they were both fighting. Malachor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The battle over there. So just imagine all of the emotions she was facing when last time she saw him, they were fighting. And
last time she saw him, it had been 2 years since she had seen him previously, because he was a kid with long hair when they were fighting on Malachor. Then she sees him 2 years later. Now she sees him over 10 years later, which is wild. Something I meant to bring this up about what we got about The World Between Worlds in this show. Did you notice there were no doors?
Yeah.
Windows and no doors, which provides you this chilling challenge to find
your way out. That was good. Good job.
Sorry, anytime.
My theory about that is, like, Ezra just went in. And that's how the world between worlds is normally. But because Anakin was the chosen one, and what the father wanted to do with him on Mortis was to have him be basically like all three of them. And a theory that I read is that Anakin had to fall to the dark side because the father said that the perfect balance would be that you could control the light and the dark, and how quickly Anakin went dark and came back in that episode, and he was able to control it. So he can control the world between worlds. That's why there were no doors. He wasn't going to give her the option of going back or going anywhere until she learned the lesson she needed to learn. So that's why the world between worlds kind of looked different in this, because if you know, like I said, there were no little circular doors that looked like Stargates from Stargate. But
do you think each person who is in the world between worlds or who experiences it sees it differently?
I think that's possible. I think it reminds me of like Supernatural's version of heaven. Every soul generates their own heaven, and then, you know, whatever. Yeah. But so that's I think like kind of like when they were there and they were hearing different moments in time from other people, mm-hmm. they're going to have moments in time from theirs, but it depends on how many pivotal points happen in their lives. Like some people are only going to have a few. Some people, like the Skywalker family, every 11 minutes is a pivotal moment for the Force and history and the galaxy. So it's just like Jyn Erso maybe only has two or three or five. But Anakin, it's like literally every birthday at this point. It's like, so I definitely think it could be what's relevant or adjacent to their lives. Will be some other doors that maybe have nothing to do with them, but it's like relevant or adjacent. I like that, Wyatt. I think it could be different for everybody.
I really hope we get some more of that exploring.
I also think it's pretty much infinite. I think it's a different plane of existence.
Always, so like, always was.
As infinite as same our as plane an, of existence is, it's a different. It's a different plane, is what I think.
Right.
So I feel a lot of predictions today. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like one other thing that, just going off of what you said really quick, I feel like we may get one more Hayden cameo. To kind of like close it out or something.
He got a little cameo in episode 4, was that?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had episode 6. I don't even think he was in episode 6. And then he was in a little bit of this one, episode 7.
Let this man get paid.
Yeah. Let him cook.
Get his checks. Yeah, let him cook. I love it. I don't know what you and Andrew are playing at, but I know Laura did not authorize tonight's mission. Are you hoping that she will eventually? Maybe she would. I don't know. But she's on my side.
She can authorize another pasta party.
Taking the women's jobs with the intro. Okay, whatever. My friends.
Whatever.
Well, make sure to... You like our gumption. You like the cut of our jib.
I'll allow it. Make sure to send in your questions. I know we say it every time at the outro, but make sure to send in your questions. We're going to have a consult the council as we phase out of Ahsoka. Sad that our ultimate finale is next week. One more. We're going to have a special guest, and then hopefully we will also have a special guest for our consult the council. So be sure to tune in next week for the finale of Ahsoka season 1. See you then. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode.
In the meantime, check us out on Instagram as @Spectre_radio and on Facebook as Spectre Radio.
Be sure to submit your questions via social media for a chance to hear us answer them on our upcoming segment, Consult the Council.
This is Spectre Radio, signing off.